Well, what is Easter all about? I asked a couple of guys who were giving me a lift to hockey Saturday week ago what they thought Easter was about. And they said, well, it really was just an opportunity to get together with family, a bit like Christmas. Although one of them did go on to admit that he hadn't really fully given up yet on the family faith in which he was brought up. Many would agree that it's about new life, just the sort of things that we're looking at on the screen at the moment. Winter gives way to spring. And of course, it's always about chocolate. But we know, and as Richard said in our prayers, that this is the most significant day in the history of the world. This is the day when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. This is the day when death was defeated. You may be aware of the survey that came out last week. ComRes asked some questions on behalf of the BBC about Easter. And there were some very encouraging answers, but one of the more surprising answers was that of those who self-identified as Christians, 23% said they did not believe in the resurrection. That's quite a surprise, isn't it? Well, hopefully, Paul's letter to the Galatians would have been a help to them. We've been in the letter since January. It's felt like a long haul sometimes, hasn't it? Just turn back to the very first verse. I think I'd forgotten about this until I was having a look at it again this week. Do you remember this first verse? Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Galatians is a resurrection book. It begins with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And in those final few verses, Paul talks about the new creation. Resurrection leads to new creation. And Paul is saying, you need my gospel. You need the only gospel there is, the gospel that speaks of the Jesus who died and was raised, because that gospel and that gospel alone is able to bring you new creation. In chapters 5 and 6, Paul has talked about this in slightly different ways. Chapter 5 and verse 21, he talked about inheriting the kingdom of God. Chapter 6 and verse 8, he talks about reaping eternal life. The great consequences of trusting in this Jesus. The consequences of looking to Jesus for my rescue and looking to Jesus for the power to live rather than doing things by my own efforts. Paul, in this letter, has presented us with two worlds, effectively. The first world is the world about my efforts. It's about what I do as I seek to keep the law, to keep the rules, to obey the rites and the rituals. As I seek through those things to please God, as I seek through those things to win my salvation, as I seek through those things to find assurance that I really am a member of the community. That's one world. But then there's another world. A world characterized by God's free gift of the Lord Jesus, by his gift of the Spirit, and by eternal life, as we've just read. And this is the new creation. Sins forgiven. The Spirit dwelling within, transforming us to be more like Jesus. If you glance back to chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul sums things up like this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ for me on the cross. Christ in me by his Spirit. That has been the message of the letter. Jesus alone is sufficient. Nothing more is needed to be saved. Nothing more is needed to live a life that pleases God. So I wonder which of those two worlds you would want to be a part of. And which of those two worlds do you think you are a part of tonight? Well, in chapter 6, Paul sums up the whole thing in one word, which is pretty clever, isn't it? But it's his letter, so he's able to do that. And the one word in which he sums everything up is the word boast. So let's have a look at verses 12 and 13 of chapter 6. Paul is writing in his own hand. He's taken the pen off the guy who's been doing the scribing so far. And clearly his writing is not up to much because he says, "See with what large letters I'm writing with my own hand." And the first thing he says is there's going to be no entry to the new creation for those who boast in self-effort. It's those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. These are the enemies, those who have been troubling the Christians in Galatia. And they want to boast in their religiosity. The fact that they are marked out by their circumcision as being true believers. They want to boast about the fact that they're not being persecuted. Isn't it brilliant? We've managed to avoid that. We've kept in good relationships with everybody. And of course, they're also boasting in the converts they've made within the Christian community at Galatia. And so they feed their pride. They're saying, "We're better than you are." And those of you who were here last Sunday, remember Alan John saying to us that one of Paul's concerns is that we don't compare. Because by comparing, we're looking to put ourselves over other people and be better than others. He said, don't compare. Otherwise, we fall into the pride trap. And it's a very easy trap for us to fall into, isn't it? How easily we take pride in the number of children and teenagers who came to the Holy Club last week. How easily we take pride, as I did in a previous church when we cleared a £30,000 deficit in our budget. How easily we take pride in the fact that we're in good relationships with the people around the town, because obviously we're committed to food banks and winter shelters and street pastors, and that means we get a good hearing, so nobody's out to get us because they think well of us. And how easily we take pride as we say of ourselves, well, of course, I'm in God's good books because, I'm sure I'm a Christian because, yeah, I helped out at Holy Club. I came to the Maundy Thursday supper. I attended both the gatherings on Good Friday. I've been here twice today. What more could God possibly want? Oh, and of course, I did return my pledge form too. So as we've said over these last few weeks, when we're asked that question, why should God let me into his heaven? The answer that begins, because I, cuts no ice at all. There is no entry into the new creation that way. as we've been saying throughout the series, to add anything to Jesus results in us receiving nothing. We lose everything. But of course, the key thing here is our attitude. It's thought that we should stop attending, stop helping, stop giving. Of course not. It's what we're expecting by doing those things, or in some cases not doing other things, that really matter. If you think God is going to be more pleased with you because, or you think you've amassed more salvation points because, then you need to stop and recalibrate, rethink. Don't think you can earn your way into heaven that way. Don't think you can get into God's good books that way. Don't think you can make yourself more sure you're a Christian down that route. No one will gain entry into the new creation by human effort, by a because I answer. Let's go on to verses 14 to 16. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Entry into the new creation is by Christ alone. And we have our assurance through what Jesus did for us on the cross, and we have our assurance through the other answer to the why should God let me into his heaven answer, the because Jesus answer. Galatians 2:20, Christ for me on the cross, Christ in me by his Spirit. You see, it's Christ's death that frees us from law and sin and death. It's Christ's death that unites us together as one people. It's through the gift of the Spirit that we're marked out as belonging to him. It's through the Spirit that we may call God our Father and enjoy praying to him. It's through the Spirit that we are being daily changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And it's by Jesus and Jesus alone that we will enter into his kingdom, and by Jesus and Jesus alone that we will enjoy eternal life. The new creation belongs to us because of what Jesus has done. In that same survey that was done for the BBC, 46% of all those interviewed said that they believe in some sort of life after death. Now, I don't think that's a great surprise, is it? I think what people are expressing is that sense that there must be more to life than this. Surely things should be better than they are. And something deep inside makes us want that and yearn for that. And the things that Richard was praying about, the things that we've seen in the news over this weekend, what's going on in Syria, the famine in the Horn of Africa, the escalating tension between North Korea, China, and the United States. Yes, of course, things should be better. But it's close to home too, isn't it? I had an email first thing this morning from the family of a clergy friend who I've known and done all sorts of things with for many years to say that he had died overnight. And we've been grieving along with the Fraser family for Joseph too, haven't we? Don't we want a better world? Don't we want a world where those things don't happen? That yearning in us is a very strong one. Now, for some of us, it can come out in remarkably trivial ways. For some of us, it comes out as we have unrealistic and unfulfilled hopes for the sports team that we support. I was at university with a fanatical fan of Crewe Alexandra. Most of you have never heard of Crewe Alexandra, and there's no reason why you should have done, really. They're a very lower league football team. But he believed strongly that the Messiah was coming, that it would only be a short time before Crewe were in the then First Division, And before some years after that, they were winning the European Cup as it was then known. This season, they're in the lower league, the lower reaches of the bottom professional division. No Messiah for Alexandra. But we see it in much more serious ways, don't we? As humanity has sought to work together to create a perfect society, a utopia. But we know too that those best intended joint enterprises all too often end in acrimony and hostility and disappointment. Because sin and selfishness take their toll and the dream disappears because of them. But Jesus has dealt with that sin and that selfishness. Christ for me on the cross to win my forgiveness. Christ in me by his Spirit to make me more like Jesus from within. And so because Jesus is the answer we're going to give, isn't it? Jesus plus nothing means that we have everything. It also means that we've got great good news to hold out to others, doesn't it? Those who are not yet trusting in the Lord Jesus, we've got this great future hope for them too. So I need to go back to those guys I was in the car with two Saturdays ago. And I need to say to them, look, will you make good on what you said about wanting to come and have a discussion about that sort of thing and find out more? When we get stuck into Life Explored in a few weeks, hopefully we'll invite some maybe less regular, some fringy members of St. John's to come along to our home group or to come to the church centre on Wednesdays so that they can do it as well. And of course, by the work of the Spirit within, I've got to keep a watch on my own life too, haven't I? Because it's all too easy to fall into the trap of saying, because I. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus died for our sin. He rose from the dead. And so the new creation is for all who trust in Christ, all who boast in the Lord Jesus. This Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, is the subject of our gospel. He is our hope, our only hope. May we love him, may we live for him, and may we boast in him. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.